Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, I just got educated on Stephen F. Austin's mascot in the break. I'm not sure I needed that. You'll find out when you get to your Twitter. Okay. Keenan McCardell now joins us. K-Mac, Happy New Year. Good to have you.
Happy New Year, you guys, man.
Had a little trip watching some sports with the kids, but you're back in the chair. Good to have you.
I'm glad to be here. It's good. Time to get back to work.
Your feelings on Tillman Fertitta?
He's a good dude, man. I mean, I like Tillman. I think he's doing things for this community. I mean, I think he stepped out front and said, you know what, you know, he made it hard for Texas.
Right.
But, you know, the deep pockets of Texas made it easy. But he wanted to keep Tom Herman, what he's doing down in Galveston. You know, he's a businessman, man. I mean, that's what they do. The
I don't know what your dream job is. But, I mean, if you had a dream job, whether it be as a player or a coach, and someone offered you that position.
And the right amount of money.
And a fair, you know, a better than fair amount of money. Even if someone brought you more money to do something else, you're probably going to take your dream job.
You're going to take your dream job. I mean, it's just like going to play for your dream team. You say most guys like to come home and play. And if it's just for the right price, no hometown discount, but for the right price, they'll go play.
Yeah. And there might be other teams that are lesser in terms of the win-loss column for their opportunities looking forward, but they might have more money, but it makes more sense for you to go with the team that you want to play for.
No doubt.
Now, this all came up because we were talking about Bob McNair as an owner, and he's the reason, well, I said he's the real reason why the Texans have Brock Osweiler. Everyone's looking to blame either Rick Smith or Bill O'Brien, but it was Bob McNair that came out and said, we have to get a quarterback, and that conversation kind of evolved into what Tillman Fertitta as an owner, because I think El Jefe tweeted, let Tillman Fertitta own the Texans, and I was like, oh, that's intriguing, because I think he'd be a great owner. Thoughts on that? I mean, Tillman Fertitta as an owner, good or bad? Yes or no?
He could be more like Jerry Jones.
You think so?
He could be because he likes to.
He's
a businessman. He likes to stir the pot a little bit. He likes to get involved. He likes to get his hands dirty. He likes to get in and see what's going on. So it could be good and bad. But he's a younger Jerry Jones, so you know.
Well. You know. Jerry Jones has a team right now that's probably the best in the NFL.
But Jerry's been away from the team too. His son has been running it. You know?
All right.
So
Tony's been running the team? Oh, that's not Jerry's son. My bad. Wow. Hey, we'll get back to more NFL, but let's wrap up what we've been talking about earlier with Tillman Fertitta. With it looks like
KJ's been there a while though.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with KJ. Neil, we see you. You're next. Galveston, G-Town, really making themselves.
They're making
today,
themselves known.
But now North Houston, KJ wants to get in on Roberto. What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? What's up, Keenan?
What's going on, KJ?
Nothing much, brother. Fellow HISD product. So I always represent
HISD. You know what's going on.
Based on the fact that, you know, we kind of get left by the wayside when they start talking about Pearland and Katie and so on and so forth.
It just don't say Cyfair because, you know, we got a guy here that's a Cyfair grad.
We got two because Trey's in there too.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Trey and Barry come from the same cloth, school-wise.
Let's not lump me in with Trey. I would have really appreciated
if they could have heard the conversation before the show, we could lump you guys in with a belt.
Whatever the case may be, we know HISD is, y'all are all our BITCHs.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, right. So let me go on to, first of all, Roberto, if you think that after Hurricane Ike completely demolished the hotel up there and this man turned it into what's called a pleasure pier, as Joe eloquently said, he created jobs that weren't there because that hotel had been run down and doing nothing for years. So he created jobs there. He created Jonathan Kima, like you said. He made Kima what it is, because without Kima Boardwalk, had you ever heard of Kima? No, I had not. And so let me move on to the University of Houston.
I agree with you on that take, by the way.
The thing that kept that prevented Tom Herman from staying is the Big 12 not putting U of X in. If you listen to what he said along the way, he said money will not be the issue. That means, and let me say this to you, Roberto, as long as you can drive down I-10 going towards and go to Lake Charles and there's a casino there, you don't have to worry about his money falling short, and he doesn't worry about losing any money.
Or come to Vegas.
That's my point. You don't even have to go that far. You can go right to Lake Charles. He's never gonna need any money. So you don't have. So there's no way he's worried about money. He is bringing. He paid. If you don't know, Roberto, he paid $20 million of his own money to refurbish completely Hawthorne's Pavilion, which we've been waiting on that for the past 30 years.
Yes.
So to say that he's the reason why Tom Herman left and blah, 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 don't come with just dumb stuff. And last but not least, I know a friend of mine that last Wednesday, a friend of mine was out at the steak place over there in Westheimer. He left me, went next door. Next thing I know, he sent me a picture of him filming for Tita. So
were they shaking hands? If they were shaking hands, KJ, that's the deal. That's the deal that breaks all other deals.
If they were shaking hands.
There you go. KJ, you are our TMZ eye on the street. We appreciate that. Way to go. And before we get to more special guests and what has just quickly become a roundtable thanks to my open invitation to who I thought were family members but screwed us yesterday, we're going to get to one more call real quick. Neil Smith, you want to talk to us from G-Town, which is the place to be, evidently, to listen to our show today. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I want to say hello to the panel, and I listen to y'all's show all the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I've been a truck driver, man, 37 years. I taught school down in Galveston. I know Tim Fachini personally. Let me explain something to you, Roberto. The mob don't mess with black folks. They call them moolies, right?
I don't know if you can say that.
I'm not sure that's the appropriate terminology, but we'll let that slide just for the sake of finishing the conversation.
Neil, please don't say anything else racist. Just go ahead and make your point.
Every time I see Tim Bacini, you know what he say? What's up, baby? He hugged me. He also gave me $10,000 because I started an AAU program in Galveston, right, Cunick Park, because all the kids who got cut off those. You know, the
big time AU. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They cut all the kids. So what I did was I got all the kids who got cut and who couldn't make teams, and we became the third best AAU team, 14 and under in the nation. You understand?
Yep.
Let me tell you something. I have eight in every one of Kima's, Galveston, Houston, Kima gave Tim Fertitta gave me a pass where I eat all the restaurants free. Me and my family. I take my partners.
Yeah,
we appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate the call, Neil.
Thanks a lot, man. Don't be a stranger. And by the way, he was going to say too, why the hell Roberto, when he was on hold, told our interns, why the hell did we have Kevin McHale on? He didn't win anything in Houston. Well, that's why I got Roberto to say what he did, because I'm pretty sure he didn't win an Employee of the Month or isn't in the Yellow Cab Hall of Fame. So, like I said, unless Danny DeVito is going to be inducting you into the Yellow Cab Hall of Fame recently or in the near future, or any of the members of Taxi, I think we just stick to our day job and listen before you speak, and
no doubt.
Can probably learn a lesson or two. Hey, we got special guests galore. It's a round table like you've never seen before, and it's a bone to be picked, but also after we crack the wishbone, we might be able to crack the story a little bit more. We've got guests. We'll tell you about them next. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Last night. All right, without further ado, let me just get to the... They're guests, but I already pointed out... These guys are great dudes, and we all work under the same roof.
No, it's too late now. You weren't saying
but, yeah,
that.
But
the
I'm
break.
Not happy with how no, great
you
they
didn't
were.
Say that
I am
anymore.
Not
you were
happy
dogging
with
them at the break.
So we had heard not from we had heard from Jay Glazer, not sources, that there was a little bit of trouble between Billy O and Rick down on Kirby, and then all of a sudden this story gets more legs because certain people under our family roof decided to break the story. And then after they were done on their national show, they decided that we weren't good enough, that they were just going to go right to the Blitz. And screw us.
Got more legs.
So Nate Griffin, so. Patrick Creighton,
I mean,
are here.
On the Blitz, they were running, you know.
Yeah. Nate and Crate, we're just the prevent. They're the Blitz. So you go with the full press instead of what we got. But normally we're in the prevent because we're winning. But Nate and Crate are here, fresh off their national stage, to join us because I told Nate today, hey, man, the door's always open. You can come in at any time. Raheel does it anyway. He does drive-bys and sprays us full of bullets every week. We don't ask for it. He just comes in.
Let me tell you how far back Joel and I go.
Oh, geez.
This goes...
the invention of the wheel.
This
wow.
This goes back to when Channel 20 had a rocket show.
Yep. Oh, I remember that. Yep.
And Joel was nice enough to ask because I was working. I had my talk show on another station.
Right.
And he was nice enough, kind enough to ask me to come on and join Lisa Malosky.
Oh, wow. Blast from the past.
Sir. Yeah, that's it.
And you know what they gave out as
gifts?
Gifts?
No.
DVD players.
Yes. Many DVD players.
Many DVD players.
For coming on the show?
Yes, for coming on the show.
No, don't CD players. Don't date yourself. CD? Because,
CD.
DVD wasn't invented
thank
yet.
You, thank
yeah, because we go back away.
Don't date yourself.
It might have been an 8-track.
We already know your line because the real answer is after he got his gift, he went home. Look, honey, it's the greatest invention ever. Ooh, what is it? What does it do? Look, you put bread in it. It slices it. Greatest invention ever.
I don't know who you're kidding. What he did was he put wrapping paper on it, and he brought it home and said, honey, I got you this new gift
you
would love.
It's
the gift that will last
there
you a lifetime.
Go.
What does it do? It slices bread.
Yeah. So when one of my favorite friends says that we didn't show him love.
Yeah, man, I was hurt.
I just didn't know that we could just come in here, just open the door, because you were doing a great show. You got great guys with you.
Hey, man. Doors always open for family.
We make it
except
better.
For when you become the evil better. Mother-in-law. Well, then sometimes you got to call first.
Well,
I guess I should give you an apology, but you know I'm kind of a jerk.
You are family.
Okay. And you're a Giants fan.
And he's not a jerk.
Who's a Giants fan?
Yeah.
Oh, you're picking the G-man for real, huh?
Uh-oh.
It's really hard.
It's too long.
Pregnant
pauses do not go over well in radio. I just want to let you know.
You know, listen, I'm working on the not being pregnant thing. Nate keeps kicking my butt about that. So
that's
I'm trying.
Right. You're only in the second trimester.
Try
now.
To
There's
pop
still
that baby out now. But, you know, you can't go against your own team.
We know Joel won't.
We know I don't.
You can't go. Even if you know it's indomitable odds, you're not going to go against your own
team. All right, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think people are tuning in to listen to how big of a fan you are. They want objectiveness. So you can't pick the Giants just because.
Oh, no, I'll give
if you. If
you
give us reasons.
I'll give you all the objectivity, and then I'll say, and despite that, I'm rooting for my team.
Okay, because that's what I make Joel do. I'm like, all right, but I need reasons if you're going to pick the Packers. And he usually comes with logic, and that I'm fine
with.
And
yesterday I didn't mention Green Bay or Wisconsin once, and I had listeners actually checking podcasts to see. And
it was
I said,
like,
hey, man.
They were checking his pulse, too.
Yeah.
Like, is he alive?
They should see his. Look, he's wearing this
how good were the
red
drugs?
Wisconsin pullover.
Yeah.
He's definitely a
see
Badger.
See what the Badgers did in Bloomington last night, too?
Yes.
Basketball team goes in and beats Indiana. We went one of the few Big Ten teams, as Barry can tell you, that won a bowl game. And enough said about the NFC North. So I bring you guys in here because we've got the experts alongside Barry and myself to talk about what you guys were talking about yesterday. And I thought it was phenomenal and obviously great journalism. But at the same time, it's something that everybody has been talking about. But let me ask you this first and foremost, because Barry and I had this conversation. Is this something that surprises people that there was a rift between Bill and Rick? Because all the way back to Hard Knocks, Barry says he felt like it was known. And I think for the most part,
news.
Among some media circles, I don't think it was known. I don't think that people thought that there was a rift or, I mean, they were at Rockets games together. At Hard Knocks now, the HBO people supposedly kept a lot of it under wraps. I don't know if that's true or not, but I didn't know that it was like this.
We've been talking about this now for over 2 years.
Yep.
Okay. Matter of fact, it was at this time last year that a lot of stories came out about O'Brien and Rick Smith not getting along. The Hard Knocks thing, you and I are on the same page there.
Yep. Okay.
And I've gotten that, you know, from multiple sources that, you know, even the producers on Hard Knocks knew there was tension a lot of it between O'Brien and Rick Smith. Obviously, they didn't have the go-ahead to present any of that, but they noticed it. Everybody noticed it.
It goes, if you looked at the press conference when he got hired, when he came in from Penn State, but he came in from a Belichick regime where Belichick has say-so over the roster. And if you guys go back, it was a big conversation who was going to have say-so over the final 53. Was it going to be O'Brien or was it going to be Rick Smith? So this goes way back. I mean,
now that can start it, but I didn't know that, you know, it was to that degree consistently throughout.
Maybe I'm
living under a rock, which is possible.
When you're head coach in the National Football League, you want to have final say-so over your roster.
The quote I always go back to is your guy Parcells. I always say, look, Parcells has always said it, and everybody wants to have the same thing happen. If you're going to be responsible for serving the dinner, you better have a say-so in the groceries.
I was in San Diego with one of the biggest riffs ever, and he got fired. Marty Schottenheimer got fired. Got fired at 14-2, and we're walking down the hallway saying, which side are you on, A.J. Smith? Marty Schottenheimer. Well, if you're a player, you're walking down the hall and AJ says hello to you and you're speaking to him and Marty comes around the corner, you're like, I was just saying hello. I'm not on his side.
Yep.
And vice versa. So you're walking down the hallway on eggshells. I hope coach or AJ doesn't come through because you see guys just scattering like roaches, like, let's get out of here because they're coming down the hallway. They don't want to talk to
remember,
either one.
Here's what I do know, that there was a bit of information that we got, and it was about Brock Osweiler. I think that's where it all started. Mm-hmm. I mean, or part of it. Obviously, the quarterback situation has always been an issue, but this might have maybe just perpetuated it even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to have this guy was the quote. And so now you wonder, okay, who was really responsible for bringing in Brock Osweiler? And it has not gone well. And because things sometimes don't go well, that has a... It has a reflection, or it has a douse, if you will, on your relationship. It will make it worse.
Because we've been asking it all year and then some. Like, we understand, and based on my experiences in professional sports too, the owner's going to have a say, and you got to believe that the general manager and the coach have a say. We just had McHale on today and asked him about that very topic because, as coach said, just like we've all echoed, look, you damn well better have a say-so in who they're going to put or who they're going to take away from your team. And he was actually more diplomatic than he could have been because I know stories about them pulling players that he actually went to the general manager and said, I like this guy. Don't touch him. And 9 minutes before tip-off, that guy was gone.
I've been there.
And it's like, man, that's just...
And remember, like I was saying, this happened when they cut Mallett. Remember, there was that tension. There was that speculation that these guys were butting heads over, should they have cut Mallett? Was it the appropriate time to do it? You know, when do you do it, if you do it at all? So it's nothing new. And the fact that we're back on another quarterback controversy a year later, it's like, when does this end? What do you do to put a stop to this? Because they continue to butt heads over the one problem this team has.
They got an easy out right now because Tom Savage is out for the game.
Mm-hmm. As of now.
No, he's out. He's been ruled out.
He's out.
He's okay. Ruled out. So my big question was this. If Tom Savage was your number two, he was cleared.
Yeah.
What do you do if Brock goes out and stinks it up the first quarter?
See, that's what I said, because going into the show, he and I are talking, and I thought Savage could Tom, play.
How long a leash do you give Brock Osweiler if he goes out dirty Brock?
Okay, let Brian Hoyer play all four quarters against the Chiefs in the playoffs last year.
But you lost, too, so
yeah,
you should have pulled him then and got another guy in there. So
it wasn't Savage.
My question is this. If Savage was healthy, would you and Brock is falling on his face, do you pull him and put Tom Savage in? Because if you do, you're basically saying, I'm done with the $72 million guy in the playoff.
Well, there are some variables. Number one, what's the score of the game?
No, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, if he's playing bad,
well,
you're
behind.
Well,
here's the deal. Connor Cook, okay, what's the score of the game? If the game is tied at 7 late in the second quarter, and my guy hasn't thrown a pick, but he's not playing well. You gave a great example during our show. What if he's 6 of 18 and he's not for 70 yards? My run game's going okay, and I'm not losing the game. My defense is playing well.
He's managing the game.
Yeah, he's managing the game. Connor Cook isn't playing that well either. What do I do here? You can't just make an all of a sudden change.
Well, you know me as a player. When I say he's falling on his
especially
face.
Especially wide receiver.
When he's falling on his face, they're not moving the ball.
The Jacksonville.
They're down.
Turning the ball
the Jacksonville
over.
Is my game.
Yes, if they're down. If it's an even game, me being a player, we still got a chance.
Right.
I'm talking about when he's down.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you, 2 minutes,
guys. 2 minutes. Take the Jacksonville game. So say that scenario rears its ugly head again. He's thrown two picks. The offense isn't doing anything. And everything is pointing towards a very bad ending.
If you pull him then, you've pulled the plug on him totally.
But you got to pay him next year, so you know he's going
to
be there.
But you pull the plug on him totally. That means you go in the draft and draft a young guy to develop, and Tom Savage is your guy going into camp.
If he brocks like Jacksonville, Brandon Weeden better be in the game. Brandon Weeden gave you more in a game and a half last year than Brock has given you in any game this season.
I brought it up earlier this week.
He has really good arm talent. That's one thing Brandon Weeden has.
Yeah. I said earlier this week, of the three, I'm not so sure that you couldn't convince me Brandon Weeden isn't the best quarterback of the three right now.
He's seen more
right
football.
Now.
He's seen more football than either guy. He's seen more football than either guy.
When Brandon Weeden was at Oklahoma State, I thought he was super. I thought he was the guy. I thought he was going to be a great quarterback in the pros. He's not showing us great. Maybe we don't have a big enough sample size,
right?
But I will tell you this. If the game is tied at 7 and the team is not moving, you're going to have to make a switch. But you have to be able to see that your defense is playing well enough to hold that offense in Connor Cook and not allow them to score any more points. Because in the second half, you got to win the game.
I don't think they'll pull him if it's tied at 7 because they're going to rely on their defense. They're going to rely on the defense that got you there. And against Connor Cook, he's a rookie. You know, we should be able to take them out of the game. You know, I just think they got off easy because they got an Oakland team that doesn't have a starting quarterback. Right. They would have had Miami. This was quarterbacks. You're right. And even if Miami would have came in here, this was a gift. For them to make it to the second round.
Well, let me stop you right there.
So you better make sure you get to the second round.
Speaking of gifts and getting off easy.
You got your starting quarterback. So you
should get to. Speaking of gifts and getting off easy, that's what we've just done. We've given these guys a gift by allowing them into the living room, even though that they didn't deserve it.
That's true.
And secondly.
Because we're family.
We're letting them off easy because they're family. But we appreciate Nate and Crate joining us. They're the guys that get all the credit. They broke this story wide open. They were the guys that were basically having everybody clamoring to get them. We didn't get them this time. But we know that there will be a next time.
Patrick broke that story. Patrick knew. He knew what was up. I had part of it, but Patrick knew what was going on, so I got to give him credit. We are family. SB Nation at 1560 as well as ESPN 97.5, we're all family, so we all broke the story.
That's right, and next time we better be a part of it or we're going to be damn well pissed off. How about that?
By the way, he doesn't speak for me.
To
I just want
fair,
you to know that.
The only reason that I was on the blitz is because
Nate
Tyler
Crate,
tweeted
Nate
me.
Duck and run.
Hey, how about that? Tyler tweeted me, hey, can you call in? Can you do a spot?
It was great.
It was great.
And next time we'll be waiting for the call. All right, so we got much more show to get to. We appreciate
Nate
Griffin
man.
And Patrick joining
Thanks,
us, fellas. And they are welcome right. anytime. We still got a half hour to go. It's Barry, it's Keenan, it's Joel and Behind the Glass. Nick, we're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, Nick, if there ever was a segment that we could have played the theme for Family Matters, that would have been it instead of on the podcast or the streaming because we had everyone. It was all in the family, all hands on deck. But thanks to Nate and Crate for joining us. And Patrick Creighton was the guy that broke the local part of that story yesterday. So that was good stuff. Keenan McCardell here with us in his normal Wednesday segment, along with Barry and myself. And it looks like we've stirred some people up. Interesting conversation we want to get to, too, because one Keenan McCardell, before he became a radio celebrity here in Houston, Texas, was a football coach at the University of Maryland in the last couple of years. And lo and behold, he faced one Connor Cook a couple times in his career at Maryland. So that's something that we need to talk about as well. Let's roll through these before we get there. First, Joseph wants to talk about Connor Cook. And if he gets hurt, what's up?
Hey, real quick question, guys. If Connor Cook gets hurt, who do the Raiders have?
Michael Crabtree. I assume that they're going to have a third guy.
Gilbert.
They were bringing in guys from the practice squad and they're bringing up the practice squad guy and they were also having a tryout. So they got to have a third quarterback.
So they were quick to name a starter, but they're definitely searching. Leonard Nimoy is involved in search of trying to find a backup.
All All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks,
Joseph. Appreciate the call. And Jared, you were waiting the longest. You want to talk about why the Giants are going to... Garrett?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me preface this by saying through and through, but we all know their season's going to end next week in Foxborough. So the team that I'm all over is the New York Giants. We're going to Lambeau Field this weekend. Now, both of Eli Manning's Super Bowl runs went through Lambeau. He beat Brett Favre the first time. He beat Aaron Rodgers the second time. Both times he went to the Super Bowl, the Patriots had the number one seed in the AFC. And if there's two things that Eli Manning is fantastic at,
it's being the underdog, right?
And having a cell phone that works.
Yeah, he's been the underdog. And Jared, you had Joel with the with a funny face over here when you told him he went through Lambeau twice.
Let him go.
Tell him to call back as his cell phone cut out, but tell him to call back with a good. Oh, you already.
He's already dropped. No.
We'll call back if you got a good cell phone reception, but we didn't get his points.
Why did I know that Barry would? I really wanted to hear his points. Call back.
But how do you know? No, you think I'm being nasty? But remember, Joe, I told you yesterday who was my pick for the Super Bowl.
The Giants?
No.
You picked the Packers?
Before the season started, I have the Steelers and the Packers in the Super Bowl.
So we don't need Vegas. Hey, we got Vegas Barry now. We don't need Vegas Dave.
So I'm not picking the Packers to beat the Giants.
Why?
But I wanted to. I mean, I am. I'm picking the Packers to beat the Giants. I'm not picking the Giants. So I wanted to hear what his points were, though. I mean,
I was listening to him too. I want to see.
Other than that, he was going at Eli's. Under pressure, he plays well in Lambeau.
He's a Hall of Famer, after all.
They got to cover Odell Beckham with their Swiss cheese secondary right now because they're
of
injuries.
One of the worst secondaries in football. The Packers have.
And the Giants think that they've made the turn on the defensive side of the ball, and they got a pass rush. They got secondary that's playing pretty good back there. So,
but you
know, against Aaron Rodgers, you know, they're feeling good. I know if I was Odell Beckham and I've been in some playoff games and I'm going to play the Packers right now, I am licking my chops saying, Eli, give me the ball.
You're licking your chops for a 20. Team. You're licking your chops for a team that puts up 27 points a game where you're not even scoring 20 as an offense if you're the Giants.
And you got that
this
running
is not
game.
A good offense.
Oh, you got that running
game. I don't want a running game.
There's no running game in New York.
I play receiver.
No, there's no running game. And
there's no running game in... Green Bay either.
By the way, the one thing you're forgetting
too
is...
No, but you forget they started a wide receiver at running back and still finished better than the Giants in rushing statistics this year. Packers were 20th in the NFL in rushing. Giants, 29.
Here's what else you're forgetting.
Are you happy about being
20? Here's what else you're forgetting.
Are you happy about being
20? I'm happier than being 29.
Here's what else you're forgetting. The Packers already beat the Giants once this year. In the same scenario.
Well, the Raiders beat the Texans, but that doesn't necessarily matter.
Look, you got your wish. Jared called back. We'll give Jared... Quickly, another chance.
Hey, don't beat around the bush, though, Jared. Get to it.
Hey, I'll just say, the Giants right now have the best defense in the NFC.
Thank you.
There's just no question. And what does Eli Manning always have when he wins the Super Bowl? A great defense. And that dude, it's ugly, but he just finds a way to win it.
What does that have to do with it?
It's not pretty ever, but he just does it.
Okay.
Jared, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Another friend of the show calling in now, Clarence, who always has a take, deep bass tones, and hopefully he's not too deep in happy hour before he gets to the topic he wants to get to. He wants to talk Texans. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
And I'm just saying, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback or what they do. They need to find a way to win. I mean, the Raiders are susceptible sometimes to just run this. Even if you just had to run the ball 40 to 50 times just to get down to the goal line and let them kick a field goal, y'all had the number one rated defense in the NFL. If they could just hold Connor Cook, who's a rookie, and y'all barely have a little tape on him, but if y'all could just hold him down and just let y'all drive and kick field goals and maybe score a touchdown or two, I say y'all got this in the bag. Y'all shouldn't have that much to worry about. And even if the quarterback just starts sticking up the joint, then put somebody else in. You can put a running back in that quarterback and let them win.
Wow. I said it could be two teams running wildcat the whole game.
Hey, Clarence, you keep saying, y'all, you from Houston. Who is your team?
Cowboys, I'm betting.
I'm not. Hell no. I'm not from Houston. I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, Saints so fan.
You're a Saints
fan. I'm a Saints fan.
But you love
Clarence, don't you? I seen what we had when we started. We didn't have a good defense then. We didn't have a good defense since.
So,
but you love Clyde Drexler,
really.
Clarence? Do you love Clyde Drexler?
I could take him or leave him.
You've mastered his ability to do color commentary. Because you basically just told us if you just manage the game and do what you need to do and score enough points, you're going to win.
And that's probably
that's basically it.
Why are you being mean to Clarence?
I'm just saying.
Why are you ripping Clarence?
I actually thought Clarence was a real Clyde Drexler fan, is what I thought.
I know. I thought he was going with this. I don't understand what
did
this
you hear
is going on.
By the way, did you guys hear Clyde's comment the other night? It was on
thanks for the call, Clarence.
Thanks, Clarence. Don't be a stranger. We love having you chime in. The other night, Clyde said, you know, what it really comes down to is if you just score more points than the other team and play decent defense, you're going to win.
I heard that.
That's deep. That takes you really have to sit down and digest that before you can really get to the true bottom line of understanding that.
It's pretty deep analysis.
Yeah. It was.
You know, right. I always feel like that though, because like if you talk about the Texans and the Raiders, I did say one of the keys could be turnovers,
right?
But I always feel like that. I always try to come up with some like keys to the game that aren't obvious, because aren't turnovers pretty much going to determine a game, just about any game?
No.
It's not a key. It should be a key in every game and a given that you can't turn the ball over and win in the NFL. But it's kind of like the whole, all you got to do is score more points and play better defense and you'll win. It's one of those takes.
That's keeping it simple, too.
Yeah.
That's from from a player's state. Let's just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Score more points, play defense.
Play better defense.
Everybody deserves a kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. All right, so we got plenty more to show to get to. We can get Keenan's picks for awards in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Now we can get those out of the way. We can talk about playoffs. We can talk about a lot of different things. We've got the time. If you've got the questions, we just had a full board or close to it with people calling in. But we've got questions ourselves. We can handle it, or you can join in on the fun. Give us a call. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be...
Keenan McCardell joining Barry, Joel, and Nick till 4 o'clock. We got one segment to go. We got a lot to get to, so let's start flying through it. Mac, right now, your MVP of the league is...
Tom Brady.
Really? Even though he missed 4 games with suspension?
Look at his numbers. Look at his team. Playoff bye. I mean, he's playing out
Matt
of his
Ryan?
Mind. He's a second. I, you know what? I couldn't say second. The guy that I had going in before Detroit had a little bumpy ride was Matt Stafford.
Really?
And I was saying co-MVP between Stafford and Brady. Matt Ryan is there. I mean, but put the numbers together in less games. Tom Brady's.
Well, Tom Brady had a hell of a year, but again,
touchdown interception ratio is ridiculous.
Yes,
best ever.
And the numbers by missing 4 games are impressive. But then again, you have to weigh why he missed those 4 games. It was a suspension, not injury. So people have a problem with that. I'm just telling you, people have a problem.
Suspended. He's suspended. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he got suspended for just stuff that. Every guy in the league, is, I mean, most of those guys get, I can't say every guy, but a lot of the guys get suspended. I mean, so what? They come back and play. They come back and prove themselves. And that's what he's done.
Could be a minor league team somewhere, but he got suspended for ball pressure.
But it wasn't
for
PEDs.
The ball rubbers? Or is that a double? Is that a ball pressure? The ball washers?
That sounds like you're getting a physical that's going bad.
There you go, the Augusta ball washers.
So
that's a minor league
so
team.
So what he did is like, okay, I got suspended for... deflate gate, you know. Now all come right. back with the regular balls and put up better numbers. So
everybody's better with regular balls. Okay, so let's roll through some of these.
Coach of the year.
That's a good one. Coach of the year.
Jason Garrett, Adam Gase.
Adam Gase.
So that's who I said.
No Jack Del Rio, huh? He don't get no love?
Adam Gase.
Okay.
Okay.
Defensive player of the year. J.J. Watt.
No. That's a tough one for me.
Yeah, because you've got Khalil Mack.
You've got
Von Miller. And you've got a guy that we all said.
Who's dominating right now?
Khalil Mack was my choice. I had all three
Raiders. I said Von Miller because of all the injuries Denver had and because of the pressure on the Denver defense with having no offense. Von Miller still showed up.
He did. He showed up. Khalil Mack, oh, man, that's a tough one. I like Khalil Mack. I'm going to go with Khalil Mack.
Okay.
All right. Offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year, Tom Brady.
Okay. See? All right. Rookie of the year on defense?
Come on now. You saw him play in person.
Yeah, but.
What? Yeah, but. Because he missed some time?
He missed. But he. Who are you talking about?
Joey Bosa. Dude is a destroyer.
I like Joey Bosa. I mean, I do. I like Yannick Ngakoue in Jacksonville also. He had 8.5 sacks. He had 8.5 sacks, and Joey Bosa had 10.5. So I can go either way, but I'll probably go Joey Bosa.
All right, rookie of the year on offense.
That's easy.
Yeah?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay. That's what I said. And your comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year.
Don't do that just because Joel's giving you that look.
You want me to go?
Looking at you with
I don't want you to go anywhere, and I've never and told you to go anywhere, although go to hell whenever you go against him. But you can go whichever way you want to go.
With the green and gold in his eyes, don't fall for that. You know it, you know who you want to pick?
Aaron Rodgers?
No, Jordy Nelson.
No, Jordy Nelson.
You know you want to pick that Charger.
Led the league in touchdowns.
You want me to pick Jordy Nelson?
I don't want you to pick anybody. Antonio I want you to Gates? Pick who you think.
No, Antonio. Not that who Charger. The other Charger.
Phillip Rivers?
No.
Well, he's leading you. He's leading you. Wink, wink, and hush, hush, and Melvin all that stuff.
Man, that's the comeback player of the year.
Gotta
comeback?
Be.
Yeah. Look what it is.
Don't call it a comeback. He's been there for 2 years.
You think Melvin Gordon's a comeback player of the year?
I do.
That's I don't think pick. Jordy Nelson's a comeback player of the year.
Okay,
no
who
way.
Was your pick then? If it's not either one of those,
someone,
who do you got?
Give him some sub. Give us
enlighten
some substance
us.
Then, yeah.
Enlighten you. Yes. I would say Melvin Gordon, too.
Okay.
I would.
That's such a wussy thing to say after you said he wasn't. Come on, man.
Because you know I wasn't giving it to him.
Have some overinflated balls.
You got,
and
you got
come
him
on.
And then you, a Charger with you? Come
no,
on, dog, man.
You know I'm not giving it to the, yeah, exactly. to the Packer.
Exactly.
Could have been DeMarco Murray. Could have been Cameron Wake.
Not DeMarco Murray.
Why not DeMarco
Why not?
Murray?
Because but he played I like better Philadelphia. Options.
I like Melvin Gordon a lot better.
I think I would take Jordy Nelson over DeMarco
no,
Murray.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
Cameron Wake is probably another one that should be there.
All right, so you want to do those few end-of-the-year awards that we talked about, Joe?
Sure.
Or do you want to
we
wait?
Can do that.
All right, so like, what was your best sports story of the year for you guys in 2016?
My best.
Just overall best sports
I'm going to say
story.
The Cleveland Cavaliers bringing a title to
I like it.
Cleveland.
Okay.
I like
great
it.
Story.
You know what? I like the Ezekiel Elliott story.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I think that franchise hadn't had a dominant running back since Emmitt Smith.
They've had like a dominant that. Anything. Since Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin.
True. And he's brought him back to promise.
Barry, what's yours?
I'm going Cubs.
It's another great story.
I like that. Yeah.
Over all of that, I got to go
Cubs. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
What is the worst sports story of the year for you guys? And there were some doozies.
I'm going to, right off the top of my head, because I didn't do it. This is something that we're doing organically. I didn't study this one.
Yeah. I didn't either.
I'm going to go to the Olympic swimmers and
Brian Lochte.
And the embarrassment.
That right there, that got me right there.
Yeah.
That was one of mine.
All right, I'm going Baylor. I don't think there's any
and
question.
There's another
That's
one.
Another
I don't
one
think
too.
There's any question. But, it's got to be Baylor.
But the first one was the Olympic thing.
Yeah, the Lochte thing was bad.
The Lochte thing was
there's
like
nothing that. Worse than what happened at Baylor. I mean, that'd be like, say, like, it would be like not including what happened at Penn State that year is the worst thing that happened in sports.
It's the Olympic thing is national.
No, international,
really.
No doubt.
It's international.
It's international. It's like international. All right. It goes.
The harm done
but,
is so much more
at Baylor.
Serious at Baylor.
At Baylor, no doubt.
Athlete of the year.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, lots of choices.
No question about it. And I mean, look.
LeBron taking
it. Yeah,
LeBron.
I was going to say, and LeBron doing so much. And he won the SI Sportsman of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a forever Jordan guy.
I am too.
But I have to give it to LeBron.
Okay.
So I do. I mean, I think LeBron is
no, you know what? I'm going to go out of the box. It could have been LeBron, and I agree with anybody that says LeBron, but I'm going to say Michael Phelps because you're not going to see anybody.
He was on my mind
also.
Dare
I say, you will never see another Olympian achieve. And then to come back from all he went through at his age and do what he did, I'm saying Michael Phelps.
But I got to go with LeBron.
And I'm going Simone Biles.
Another good one.
Okay.
I mean, what she did, unbelievable. Yeah. And fun fact, she lives in my neighborhood. Didn't know that till recently.
Did you go to the parade?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
She didn't go to South Fair, did she?
No.
She went to South Fair. She was
smart girl.
What was your best moment? There was, you know, not story, but the best moment. And I'll give you guys one. I'll give you what mine is just so you can kind of see what we're angling at here. But my best moment was D. Gordon's home run. After Jose Fernandez died.
It was a great moment.
That was.
So like one of those moments, something like that.
My best moment. was to see the city of Cleveland, because I played there. I played there for 4 years. See the excitement of the Cavs bringing back the championship and Chicago, the city of Chicago.
Yeah, both of them. Cities. Yeah.
Yes.
My best moment was getting the opportunity to do this show.
Look at you. Oh, pandering. Dude.
No, seriously. Okay. The ability to have no holds barred, to be able to do what I've done my whole life anyway, to talk sports,
right,
to not have the principal and the ruler smacking me on the wrists, and to have this opportunity to do stuff like this with you guys, that's to me.
What about me cry?
What about the saddest sports moment?
Yeah, worst moment of the year for me? Mine was Brian Hoyer. I'm going to keep it local and just say Brian. I know there was worse things that went on in sports from a moment's perspective, but the what he did in the playoffs for this town, worst moment of the year.
Mine was the passing of Muhammad Ali.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a very good one. What about you, Joel?
And I mean,
it's hard to beat that. That's pretty damn strong.
Both of those from a local and an international perspective, and you add Arnold Palmer to the mix.
True,
from a guy, another guy.
Yep.
Legends that you may never see again. We talk about all the deaths of 2016 from a sports perspective. Just those two guys alone, internationally as well as nationally, Arnie and Ali, those were definitely devastating losses. So there you go. We just covered a little bit of ground. Barry, you're out tomorrow because you're on the road. So we're going to make sure that
we'll have a good time.
Boys have fun. Is Travis coming in or is it Keenan?
I think right now we're going to see if Matt can do it. We'll figure it out from there. But we'll
have a good time.
Yeah, but Barry's going to get his oil changed and his doorbell rung.
No.
Wherever he is. And we'll talk to him next week. And we'll talk to you tomorrow as we are here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.
You forgot about the sexiest mascot.
Yeah?
The Massachusetts Minutemen.
Wow.
That's pretty damn
strong. Who knew they had your own mascot? The Blitz is next on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.